A road trip to the airport, that is. Good evening. I'm Bill Martins in for Glenn Moberg, Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio on this August the 25th. If you do any flying, you've probably noticed how the down economy is putting the hurt on air service across the country. Airlines are pulling out of small cities. Take Delta, for example. It's thinking of discontinuing service to 15 small cities, including Iron Mountain and Escanaba, Michigan, and Hibbing, Minnesota. Looks like Delta may also have to rely on the feds to help pay for service to 9 other cities. But remember, Congress has to find $1.5 trillion in cuts over the next decade to bring down the debt. So that may be a tall order. And then you've got AirTran, which is merging with Southwest, saying it's going to stop flying to 4 small city airports, including Quad City International in Moline, Illinois. Experts say it's a trend that may stick around for a while. They blame lower profits in an industry already whacked by the recession, higher fuel costs, and airline mergers. In north-central Wisconsin, we've got quite a few regional airports, and we're going to talk tonight about how the picture is shaping up here. We'd like you to be a part of that discussion. Do you use our small city airports, or do you just drive to Milwaukee, Chicago, or the Twin Cities? Maybe you pilot a small plane. Are you flying less today than you were before the economy really got bad? 1-800-780-9742 is the number to call. 800-780-9742. You can also weigh in on the Route 51 Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at Route 51 Show. Joining me in our Wausau studio is Tony Yarn, manager of Central Wisconsin Airport in Mosinee. Hello, Tony.
Hello, Bill. How are you?
Real good, thanks. And we've got John Schmiel, manager of the Wausau Downtown Airport and president of Wausau Flying Service. Hello to you, John.
Hello and good evening.
Good evening. And, you know, I'm glad you're both here because your airports are really quite different. John, Wausau Downtown does not have scheduled passenger service. So sit tight and let me talk to Tony for just a second about CWA. CWA, that is. You've got Delta, American, and United. Have any of them given you any indication that they may be cutting back or possibly even pulling out of CWA like what Delta's doing elsewhere?
Well, quite the contrary with Delta, Bill. What is happening with Delta is they're announcing, they have announced all-jet service for the CWA market beginning September the 8th. In fact, we're going to have a ribbon-cutting ceremony to commemorate that event. And that's going to represent a 6% increase in our market. Now, how long that will be sustained is another thing that we've got to look at in this economy. I think we're fortunate in that we were able to get that jet service. You know, the Saab 340s went away from those 24 markets that you talked about in your introduction. Others, however, like American, has announced that they're going to cut service on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, reducing their flight schedule even further. And United, as of last fall, had cut from 4 flights daily to 3. And we're really looking at what happens after the merger with United and Continental, something that we're really watching because, as you may know and as I surmise, when you've gotten a merger, there's going to be ways for looking for cuts, and that could be a possibility.
I was just going to say, how concerned are you that if the economy doesn't improve, if fuel remains high, mergers, et cetera, that CWA may lose an airline?
Well, I'm very concerned about that. You know, if something does keep me up at night, it's going to be something like that. And we are, you know, developing our marketing campaign to see what it is that we can do to partner with airlines even more so today to find out what their comfort zone is with regard to costs and the fee structure and so forth. So we're working proactively with airlines. And an example of that is our work with Delta. We knew that the Saab 340s were going away at some point, and we engaged Delta over a year ago. Met with them in Atlanta over the course of that year on 2 occasions, and the last occasion was in this past May, where we met with schedulers down there and confirmed that there was something that could be done with our schedule. So we put some marketing dollars toward this effort, and we're pushing to see if we can drive the demand the community has asked for jet service with Delta, our biggest carrier. They carry 65% of our passengers, and so we're hoping that we can bring all this together and provide that service and weather the storm.
And no prop planes from American American or United, correct?
Yeah, that's
correct. All jets right now?
They will be all jets for all carriers as of September the 8th, correct.
Oh, okay, so aside from a different kind of plane, what's that going to mean for passengers?
Well, what it'll mean for passengers is that, they've received what they've been demanding over the years. I came to the airport in the year 2000, and it was shortly after that, I believe in 2002, where Delta, at that time actually is Northwest, introduced the CRJ-200 into the market. Other airlines had been flying them. Northwest had introduced those, and it was what the customer demanded. They demand the jet service. They don't really care to fly the prop. So I think we're the beneficiary of some proactive work with the airline in this regard. The other thing that we'd be looking forward to is making sure that the airline, and we're swimming upstream on this one, but making sure that the airline can provide for the business traveler the schedule that makes sense for the business traveler, giving those flight times early in the morning and late in the evening for those departures and arrivals that are going to allow the business person to travel economically, get their goods and services across the nation and indeed globally.
John Schmiel, I suppose in a way maybe it's nice that you don't have to worry about the airlines, but you're certainly not immune from the bad economy. I read in a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article that one of the main sources of revenue for general aviation airports is fuel sales. And if more private pilots are staying on the ground, your fuel sales are dropping. What's the story at the Wausau Downtown Airport?
Well, we've definitely seen a decrease in traffic, and that also coordinates with a decrease in fuel flow as well. So we have definitely been impacted, and that's a source of revenue, not just for Wausau Flying Service, but for the owner of the airport, the city of Wausau, because we share some of that revenue with the city to perpetuate the airport. But it's not just private pilots that are flying less. I mean, we do have a certain amount of our traffic is recreational and private pilot flying, and we do not have the airlines, but the majority of the traffic that takes place at the Wausau Airport is business related or medical personnel related. So actually at our airport, we've seen, the uptick that we've seen is we've seen a lot of traffic that is associated with the health industry and with emergency services at our airport, because Aspirus has their helicopter based at our airport, and that's become an important part of our operations.
But how many planes do you have taking off and landing each year?
Well, we don't have somebody out there clicking a ticker every time somebody takes off. But from what we calculate, we take the number of aircraft that are based at our airport. The FAA has given us an average number of takeoffs and landings per airplane at the airport. And then we do count the number of transient aircraft that come in and out. And what that equates to, depending on what's going on in the year, is somewhere between 25 and 33,000 operations a year. And an operation would be considered to be a takeoff or a landing.
What can you tell us about who's flying? What's been the trend for recreational pilots who just like to spend the day going from one airport to the next? What about people who are, maybe learning how to fly? You've got flight students. I know you mentioned, business travel and medical. Are all those numbers going down lately?
Yep, I'd say across the board, it's all decreased. But, as in anything, there's peaks and valleys, and we just happen to be in a valley. We're going to weather it, and when things turn around, we're going to be ready for action then. But in the meantime, it's pretty much across the board. I think what really affects our airport is the decrease in business traffic. I wouldn't say I would say that decrease is proportionate, but it's a large portion of our business. And business traffic is very important to our business and also the local economy.
Have a lot of people at the downtown airport been selling their planes? I would think if you're in the market to buy a plane, you could probably find a really good deal. Could you not? I mean, kind of like the housing market?
I would say that most local airplane owners are holding on to their airplanes. They're probably flying less, but if you own an airplane, you're pretty passionate about aviation. So just because the economy's bad, you're not going to give it up.
Sure.
So I would say they're flying less, but not selling their planes.
Tony, more than 311,000 passengers went through CWA in 2010, which was up from the 290,000 the year before. Any sense how many passengers are going through CWA so far this year?
Yeah, the sense is that we're about 14% lower than we were last year. You know, we've been very fortunate, to put the positive spin on this, been very fortunate in our market to have, over the past 5 years or so, maintained good employment ridership with the passengers at the in the Seaway market. However, this year it's been a little bit different story with a 14% reduction year over year.
Now, you were hoping to start construction this fall on a big project that would, I guess, double the size of the terminal, but from what I understand, the FAA shutdown kind of messed that up because it couldn't collect taxes, some of which would have been pumped into CWA for that project. But you're getting some money from the state to help set the table for that eventual new terminal, correct? Can you just kind of describe that situation for us?
Well, sure. We're currently, and as of last Monday, as a matter of fact, started a utility corridor infrastructure project that would purchase to serve the new terminal as it comes online. That, as I mentioned, started on Monday. And it's a $3 million project, an 80-20 split shared by the airport and the state of Wisconsin Bureau of Aeronautics. And essentially what we'll be doing with that project is, because we do have a 40-year-old infrastructure there, believe it or not, replacing the sewer, the lift station, water lines, telephone and gas lines and the like. Power is a big one there as well. So that is an issue that needed to happen anyway. Financing, funding was available for that particular project, and the governor found that it was worthwhile, and off we go with it. What we also have going, and this is also in anticipation of our complete campus renovation out there, and that is a $2.5 million rental car facility with improvements to parking and so forth that would get the rent-a-car providers out of the terminal building proper and get them set up at, just across the street from the terminal, providing for better amenity for their customers and better flow for passenger traffic. You mentioned the large project, the terminal itself. We did hit a snag on that. The shutdown did, I think, impact us greatly. First of all, in that there were roughly 4,000 FAA employees that were furloughed. Some of those were people in planning and finance that I had to work with in order to move this project along. The other impact was the $300 to $400 million, depending on how you measure it, loss in revenue to the Airports and Airways Trust Fund. That leaves discretionary dollars going to airport projects, large capital airport projects like ours, leave them short. So I just received word yesterday that our Program E funding would not come through. What that means is that our last hope for funding the terminal project, the first phase of a three-year program, would be from September 16th through the 30th. Hopefully there would be some discretionary dollars there for us.
I see. All right, we're talking with John Schmiel, manager of the Wausau Downtown Airport and president of Wausau Flying Service, and Tony Yarn, manager of Central Wisconsin Airport. The topic is North Central Wisconsin's regional airports and how they've been affected by the economy. After the break, we're going to talk about the their roles in the community and why they're important. And I hope you'll give us a call if you've used these airports. Doesn't just have to be CWA or the downtown airport. There's also Rhinelander, Merrill, Stevens Point, just to name a few. What do you like or dislike about them? Are you flying less today than you did a few years ago? Are you thinking of taking up flying? What about buying or selling a plane? 1-800-780-9742. Also be sure to like the Route 51 Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at Route 51 Show. I'm Bill Martins in for Glenn Moberg, and this is Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
This is Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Bill Martins in for Glenn Moberg. My guests are John Schmiel, manager of the Wausau Downtown Airport and president of Wausau Flying Service, and Tony Yarn, manager of Central Wisconsin Airports. We are talking about the state of North Central Wisconsin's many airports and are wondering whether you use them. Maybe you're a pilot and you have a favorite place to fly in or out of. Tell us about your experiences at 800-780-9742. John, I asked Tony a little bit about renovation plans there. You got anything in mind for the near future at the downtown airport?
Yep. What we're working on for next year is what we call an SRE building, or a snow removal equipment building. Currently, we have our snow removal equipment, which we use to obviously remove snow on the airport in the winter. And we're storing that equipment in an area which is should be used as a hangar. And so what we needed to do is have a building that we could separate that out, separate out that equipment so that we could use our hangars for what they were built for. The beauty of the program is that it's not all the cost isn't being passed on just to the local taxpayer. We're participating with the federal government and state government to help fund that project, as most capital projects at smaller airports are.
So. Hey, I was going to say, tell us about the Wausau Downtown Airport's relationship with the community. I guess, you know, when I think of a true community airport, the downtown airport's right up there, you know, nestled right in town, small but, you know, nice. And I know there used to be this tight group of older guys who'd meet there in the morning and they'd shoot the breeze over a cup of coffee and donuts. What's the airport's community, I don't know, mission?
That's interesting. Well, we have a very active local airport. So we still have those World War II vets that meet on a daily basis during the week in the mornings at the flying service. But we also have a lot of current active pilots that just spend their time out at the airport. One of my friends who's a pilot described it once. He said, you know, my hangar is my cabin up north. He said, I don't have a cabin up north. I don't fish. I don't do any of that stuff, but I fly. So I spent my money on flying stuff, and that's why I hang out at the airport. And we have a lot of those kinds of people at our airport, and we're blessed with that because not a lot of smaller airports our size really have the active flying community that we do. And I'm very proud of that because that's what one of the things that we wanted to foster when we came in to manage the airport. You know, obviously, as far as relationships with the community, one of the biggest events in Wausau is the Wausau Balloon Rally that happens on an annual basis. And I think it's not only fun for the community, but that event also provides an economic impact for the community. And that's one of the things that we're concerned with our management of the airport. It's making sure that our airport does have a positive impact on the community. And that's one of the ways it does impact the community. Obviously,
and,
go ahead.
Sorry, I just want to get a take from Tony in while before we hit our news break in a couple of minutes. Speaking of the economic impact, I know, Tony, you're more concerned probably with getting passengers up in the air or back on the ground safely. Tell us about the economic impact that CWA has on the surrounding area.
Well, we did an economic study in conjunction with the Bureau of Aeronautics. I believe it was back in 2007, so the information is a little bit dated, but we've got economic impact on the community to the tune of millions of dollars, tens of millions, actually. I don't remember the exact figure, but I'd like to say the total number was about $98
million. Hmm. Okay. Now, John, is that what you were talking about? Was that pretty typical of a general aviation airport? I know you don't speak for, you know, Merrill, Tomahawk, or Marshfield, but does this kind of airport really strive to be involved with the community, the flyers and non-flyers alike?
Well, I described to you what the fun parts of our airport are, but I think that there's the airport's a hidden tool, and it really isn't talked about and promoted enough. It's easy for Tony because, or it's easier for Tony because if you want to go on vacation, chances are you're going to get on an airplane out of his airport, and that has a that has a direct impact on you. And when you think airport, you think Seaway. For us, it's a little bit more difficult, but our airport does affect the community in less direct ways. You may be employed by a company who was visited by another company that came to the Wausau Airport. And because the airport was here and that meeting was able to be done, the company that you were employed by may have profited because of that, which ensured your job, which provided economic impact in the community. And I think that's the way that smaller airports have an impact. It's not always real visible. It's not a direct flight, so to speak, out of Wausau that's impacting you, but the airport is having an impact on your bottom line.
Gotcha. And I think that will take us to about halftime here. We're talking about North Central Wisconsin's regional airports, talked about how they're hanging in there during a bad economy, their relationship to the community. And it'd be nice to hear from you in this next half, whether you use general aviation airports like the Wausau Downtown Airport or you fly in or out of CWA, maybe the Rhineland or Oneida County airports. 1-800-780-9742. That's 800-780-9742. I'm Bill Martins in for Glenn Moberg, along with Wausau Downtown Airport Manager John Schmiel and CWA Manager Tony Yarn. This is Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Time for the news from NPR.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
How did all these people get in my room? Come fly with me, we'll fly away.
And welcome back to Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Bill Martins and Frank Sinatra with you this week from our studio in Madison. Thanks to Glenn Moberg for allowing me to fill in again. I appreciate it. We are focusing on Wisconsin's regional airports and their places in today's economy and community. With me from our Wausau studio is Tony Yarn, manager of Central Wisconsin Airport in Mosinee, and John Schmiel, manager of the Wausau Downtown Airport and president of Wausau Flying Service. We're wondering whether you use these small city airports. How has the economy changed the way you fly? Do you like to fly in or out of CWA, or do you just head to one of the bigger ones like Chicago or the Twin Cities? If you're a private pilot, what do you think of airports like Wausau Downtown, Stevens Point, Lakeland, or Langlade County? Call in with your experiences. 1-800-780-9742. That's 800-780-9742. You can also like the Route 51 Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at Route 51 Show. Hey, John, I'm told that the Wausau Downtown Airport charters a local Boy Scout troop. How does that work?
Well, there was a Boy Scout troop in our neighborhood, and they needed to have a sponsor, and my son happened to be in the Scouts at the time, so we felt it was appropriate, and we also felt it was a good way for the airport to give back to the community. So even after my son is out, we're looking forward to having a good relationship with Troop 465.
I'm guessing they probably get quite a kick out of getting up in the air, don't they?
Well, you know, the beauty of aviation is it sells itself. I always tell people I'm glad I'm not the head of the sewage treatment plant, because the airport's a little bit more exciting.
I guess so. I think I'd probably agree. How, if at all, John, do you work with other airports to make the whole flying experience smoother for, you know, everyone involved? Do you have a kind of a partnership with, you know, the surrounding airports, Merrill, Stevens Point, Lakeland?
Well, I think, you know, all airports are in the same boat, but we're all unique in our own ways. And one of the ways that we network is, you know, we have annual conferences that we go to. There's the Wisconsin Aviation Conference. Obviously, if there's problems with navigation systems or anything like that, Tony and I have worked together on those things. So it is important to work with your peers and try to resolve any issues that might affect us regionally. And we do that quite often.
Tony, any sort of networking like this with other commercial airports like Rhinelander or Austin Straubel or in Green Bay, for example, or does each airport just sort of do its own thing?
Well, no airport is an island. You know, we've got to network. Certainly our biggest association would be the American Airport Executives, and it's a national organization, and indeed we have national contacts. Certainly I know Joe up in Rhinelander and Tom over in Green Bay, and we confer on a regular basis. And the Wisconsin Airport Management Association is made up of a lot of these ladies and gentlemen. And we talk about the issues of the day, certain issues that affect us legislatively or from a regulatory standpoint. And we try to come up with some solutions to those issues. In fact, I just came here from a meeting with the Wisconsin Airport Management Association. I've sat on that board for about the last 7 or 8 years. So, yeah, we've got an extensive network. And, of course, nowadays, we're, especially from the national side of things, we're reaching out globally. And there are certain colleagues within those ranks that are reaching out to airports in Poland and Abu Dhabi and other regions of the world.
All right. Well, we've got a caller on the line here. Let's go to Washburn now, way up there, and talk to Joe. Hello, Joe. You're on Route 51 on the Ideas Network.
Hi. I was a teacher in the Washburn School District in technology education for about 34 years. And I just wanted to say, you know, our small airport over in Ashland, we've had a good number of students from our school district that went over to the Ashland Airport, were involved in taking flight lessons, and you know, there's just not a better way out there to get kids to use their academic skills, math, science, reading skills, than to get them involved with flight.
Joe, what specifically did they do up there?
Well, you know, they just contracted with the airport, you know, and I did not have a flight class in my classroom. I taught about aviation in there as a unit in, mm-hmm. in one of my classes, energy and transportation, but we had fellows over at the airport that were flight instructors and got kids. I had them come in. We had an aviation day at school who talked to kids about flying and just said, hey, you know, this doesn't have to be a big scary thing for anybody, that people who are conscientious can learn how to fly. And over the years, we've had a good number of students. Being a shop teacher there, I tell the kids, you know, it's hard to get clear days up here around Lake Superior sometimes. So Dave at the airport would give me a call and say, hey, Joe, you know, we got some clear skies out here. Can you break any of the kids loose to fly? And I'd just make a deal with the kids to come back after school and serve their time with me, but they could go and fly for a while. And, of course, we had that cleared with their parents. But
right.
what a great process for confirming our educational process.
Yeah, sounds like something that they would greatly enjoy. Joe, thank you for the call up there
okay.
in Washburn. John Schmiel, anything, I mean, does the Wausau Downtown Airport have a relationship with some of the schools in the area that, you know, the kids can come down and check things out?
Absolutely. In fact, three of our busiest students this summer were recent graduates of local high schools, and I'm very proud of that. I think the main reason that kids still have an interest in aviation is because of the EAA's Young Eagle program, and the Experimental Aircraft Association, in coordination with their local chapters, of which we have two here in the Wausau region, try to do what's called Young Eagle Rides, and they're airplane flights for kids between the ages of 8 and 17 years old, and they're given by volunteers who volunteer their own airplanes and their own time to expose kids to aviation. It's not just about a free airplane ride, but they explain to the kids, you know, how to pre-flight an airplane and how a plane works. And then they obviously go up for an airplane ride, which is probably about 10 minutes long. And we have seen so many kids go through that program, and that's planted a seed that grows. And when they're in high school, they usually make a choice to go to aviation. So I think that's really cool, and we foster that interest at Wausau.
Tony, anything like that at CWA?
Oh, sure. In the past, we've worked with explorer groups that are associated with scouting. And a couple of local high schools, DC Everest and Mosinee, come to mind in particular, have brought some students into that group setting for us. We'd teach the fundamentals of flight, get them introduced to some flight crew. You know, maybe a first officer or captain would come in and talk to them, and we'd do certain things like that for the last couple of years now. We also conduct tours of the airport and generally going to range everywhere from, you know, something, some child larger than a toddler, we get them pretty young, through high school. And essentially what they do is get a real good behind-the-scenes look at what happens at a commercial service airport. Most of them come away with the idea that there's a lot more going on than meets the eye, and obviously they're getting into some areas that a normal passenger would not see, baggage handling, ticketing, things of that nature. So they get a glimpse at the technology. They get up into the control tower and see what happens there and get an idea of how things come together on a flight from start to finish.
1-800-780-9742. If you want to get in on the program like Joe and Washburn did, that's 1-800-780-9742. Tony, I wanted to ask you about this because I was talking with my coworkers earlier this week about this particular show coming up, and somebody mentioned that they never fly out of Dane County Regional because they save quite a bit of money by simply driving to Milwaukee or Chicago and flying out there. So I went online, just did a little experiment this afternoon, looked at ticket prices from Madison to New York City and also Milwaukee to New York. Round trip, leave today, come back next Thursday. From Madison, the cheapest was more than $1,000 with two stops. From Milwaukee, the cheapest was only $550 and one stop. How can there be this much of a price difference there? I guess I just always wondered how that worked.
Well, a lot of it's going to do with your market. Milwaukee is a medium hub airport, primary service airport, the largest in Wisconsin. And if you've been following the news down there with Southwest and AirTran prior to the announcement of the merger, they had quite a bit of price war type things going on down there. And here's a situation where you've got low-cost carriers that are driving the cost down on the legacy carriers, the Deltas, the Northwest, when they were still down there, United, and so forth. So that whole market down in Milwaukee has skewed the fares in every city in Wisconsin and, indeed, Rockford, Illinois, Chicago, and Midway, as a matter of fact. So that's why you're going to see that. The bigger get bigger, and those in the middle have got to look for ways to catch up. And smaller markets are going to have a harder time competing with the Milwaukees of the world.
Sure. You know, the airlines, I know, may reduce ticket prices or fees, but are the actual airports themselves doing anything? I mean, are they in a position to really do anything to help keep flights affordable?
Why, sure. You know, on a yearly basis, we look at our rates and charges, what we charge the airlines, and try to keep those reasonable, try to keep those going down, especially in years of high fuel like we saw in 2008 and in this current year. So we're constantly looking for ways to make it a little easier for the airline to do business. You know, contrary to popular belief, there's not a lot of profitability in an airline. In fact, the adage in the industry, across the industry, is if you want to become a millionaire in the industry, start with $2 million. And it's very thin margins on every aspect of what an airline does.
John, anything the general aviation airports are doing to help customers as, you know, fuel costs rise and it just becomes more expensive to fly? I know you guys are probably feeling the pinch, too. So are you even in a position to do anything?
Well, you know, when we have contact with a customer, it's usually through a fuel sale. And I would say that, you know, fuel prices have gone up considerably, and we've tried to keep our prices down to our local consumer. What's happening in my industry is a lot of governments are taking over the fuel concessions. So like an airport that lost its what we call FBO, or fixed base operator. Wausau Flying Service is a fixed base operator. Not all municipal and smaller airports have a fixed base operator at their airport. And so that's forced the airport owner to get into the fuel concession. And when a government takes over a fuel concession, they don't necessarily charge the same amount that the current market is charging. And so that's made my job very difficult, because I have to compete with those government-owned fuel vendors. And so I know what I have to charge to stay in business, and I charge that. But I will tell you this, that our profit margins have been slowly shaved away the last couple of years. So our fuel prices may have gone up, but our profits are less than what they were.
Well, if you'd like to comment on any of this, we're also going to get into air. I want to ask you guys about airport security when we come back from the break. But you still have some time to get in on the program here. Give us a call at 800-780-9742. You can also leave a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at Route 51 Show. We're talking with John Schmiel, manager of the Wausau Downtown Airport and president of Wausau Flying Service, Tony Yarn, manager of Central Wisconsin Airport, and I'm Bill Martins. And for Glenn Moberg, you're listening to Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy in Stevens Point, partnering with agricultural and commercial industries to invest in Central Wisconsin's renewable energy future. More about the benefits of solar for business at northwindre.com.
I can go for miles in my airplane. Have a lot of smiles in my airplane. I can go up, I can get down, but I can't get to you if you don't want me around in my airplane.
Oh man, that's a good song. 5:52 on this Thursday, August evening. You're listening to Route 51 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Bill Martins in for Glenn Moberg. With me is Central Wisconsin Airport Manager Tony Yarn and Wausau Downtown Airport John Schmiel. 1-800-780-9742 if you have a question or a comment about North Central Wisconsin's airports. I mentioned before the break I wanted to talk about security a little bit. And, of course, as you know, we are coming up on the 10-year anniversary of 9/11, which really changed the way we fly. Tony, what's your sense of security over at CWA? I know you're not actually with TSA, but, I mean, do you work with CSA to make sure that this all is done appropriately and efficiently? Or what's the airport manager's role in security is what I'm trying to get at.
Well, the airport manager at an airport such as ours is the airport security coordinator, so the buck stops there with me as far as security is concerned. However, there is a regulatory presence there in the form of TSA, and, of course, that's something that the customer does not see, the regulatory side of it. What they do see is the passenger and baggage screening side of it, the uniformed persons there. And so as far as security is concerned, it is a local issue. It rests on the airport owner, and I'm the guy, the airport security coordinator, that has to ensure that everything is being followed, and we work hand in hand with the TSA to hopefully make the customer experience go smoothly. And yes, things have changed obviously since 2001. It's gotten more difficult, with declaring your fluids and taking your shoes off and your jacket and all those sorts of things, but we do see, on the other hand, some changes coming from TSA, and that they are going to be using some behavioral approaches to screening and not just relying solely on technology to do the job.
John, what's the story at Wausau downtown? Obviously a totally different element, but I remember a story a while ago about that guy in Texas who had a grudge against the IRS or something, and he crashed his small plane into a building. And, you know, I also remember shortly after 9/11, there were fears that terrorists could use crop dusters to spray chemicals and stuff to kill people. I'm guessing not too many people are worried about that kind of thing today, but what are the security concerns regarding small airports like yours?
Well, you know, there are security concerns at small airports that general aviation airports have addressed. And one of the things that we've done at Wausau is we've got a perimeter fence around the airport. We have vehicle gates, none of these, and pedestrian gates that only allow airport tenants access to the airport operations side of the airport. So, and that's all happened since 9/11. And the industry is concerned about how the public views security issues at smaller airports as well. So we've come up with programs like the Airport Watch program, which is very similar to the Neighborhood Watch program that we participate in. So basically, all the airport users are the part of the eyes and ears of our security program. You know, we take airport security seriously, and the people who participate in aviation are concerned about that as well. I have to meet with government personnel on an annual basis. They discuss who's learning to fly at our flight school. If we have somebody who's a non-citizen that wants to learn how to fly here, there's certain regulatory things that we have to go through. And I just recently spoke with a government agency about their concerns about the anniversary of 9/11 and some of the things that we should be looking for. So we take security and aviation as seriously as any airport does, just like Tony does.
But you don't have any, like, TSA type of presence there, right? I mean, is TSA, I guess, how closely involved are they with you?
Well, you know, TSA, those are three pretty big letters, and they encompass a number of government agencies. So, no, we don't have a direct presence at our airport, but they do keep tabs on what's going on at our airport.
Gotcha. Tony, we were talking a little bit about, I guess I want to talk about the future here in just the couple of minutes that we have left. Tell me a little bit about, I mean, we talked about the renovation project that is supposed to be underway, I guess, if everything had been gone smoothly. But what, if you get your way, what is this new terminal going to have? Are we talking, you know, just more space, more restaurants, shops? I mean, what's it going to look like?
Well, essentially, what it's going to do is bring us up to a current standard. The terminal building itself is woefully undersized for what we're doing there, especially in a post 9/11 era. If you walk into our baggage lobby, you'll see that CT-80 baggage scanning machine in the lobby there, and that's something that, you know, really shouldn't be there. It really sets up for a lot of cross traffic, inefficient flows of passengers and bags, so that when you do get a busy time, our peak times are early in the morning, midday, and later in the evening. It's a mess, and there's a security risk there. On the other end of the terminal, where we've got baggage coming back in for the passenger to take out to their car, that's small and cramped down on that end, and does not flow very efficiently. And all the way through, you know, we've got to bring up our infrastructure. You know, I mentioned that on the exterior earlier in the conversation. The interior of the building has depleted infrastructure, you know, deteriorating infrastructure, and that needs to be brought up to speed. Yes, we'd be doubling our square footage roughly, and that of course would allow for better movement and so forth for passengers. We would also be looking at adding a business lounge, perhaps expanding some retail. But as far as restaurants are concerned, we've got a pretty good one upstairs there, a lot of square footage and a good operator. So, you know, we've got a lot of folks coming in there to enjoy that as well. So,
all right, John, what's on your wish list for the next, you know, say next 5-10 years?
Well, we just want to continue to provide for the community, and the areas that we're looking at improving, we're currently working with the FAA to get instrument approaches that use the global positioning system, or GPS, that will allow lower weather minimums to be used for aircraft coming in and out of Wausau. And that just allows our airport to be used on a more consistent basis. And so most of the improvements that we're looking at are just maintaining the infrastructure that we have and improving those approaches. So those are some of the things that we're looking at.
Okay, well, we're going to have to leave it there. Gentlemen, thank you both for your time this evening. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Bill.
It was wonderful. Ask me back for next week.
we'll talk. Wausau Downtown Airport Manager John Schmiel and Central Wisconsin Airport Manager Tony Yarn were our guests today. Don't forget to check out the Route 51 website at wpr.org/route51. You can listen to past shows, see what we're working on coming up. Also, be sure to like Route 51 on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Route 51 Show. Thanks to Rick Ryer for engineering the program and answering the phones. Music credits to the Steve Miller Band, the Box Tops, Frank Sinatra, the Royal Guardsmen, and John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme you're hearing in the background now. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Bill Martins, and until next time, we're heading out of town.